and welcome to African Media. I'm Laura Angela Bagneto. We've heard a lot about the spread of fake news in the United States, especially during the U.S. presidential elections in November. But this isn't only an American phenomenon. It affects Africa, too. William Byrd is the executive director of Media Monitoring Africa in Johannesburg, an NGO that promotes democracy in the media. He says that looking at fake news from an African perspective differs from the American context.
When you look at our continent, the broad levels of media freedom are really still not high. You know, there's far too many countries on our continent where media freedom simply doesn't exist at all. And in that context, when you say then what's fake news against what's news that's being put out as direct propaganda that ignores and violates all other things, it's quite a hard distinction to make. To that degree, it's not necessarily that new a kind of problem as it is for established democracies. If you go and you look at a country like Uganda, for example, where the media have been under extreme duress, or you look at the Gambia, for example, or Gabon, because there's no media freedom there, you've got state-owned media, state-controlled media, and of course the news that they put out is not going to be news that traditionally we would say would be balanced, accurate, or fair. And to that extent, you'd say, well, then does it contribute to fake news, right? So to that extent, that's not in and of itself a new problem. Where we're seeing it spread quite significantly in other parts of the continent is where you've got greater levels of media freedom and where you've got greater access and higher levels of social media activity and internet access. So you're seeing it emerge in countries like Kenya, in countries like South Africa. So in South Africa, for example, you've got at least 10 or 15 sites that actively disseminate fake news. And by that, it is news where they operate in a manner that is not at all transparent. They operate in a manner where they make a lot of things up or where they steal other people's news and where they simply don't adhere to basic practices of good journalism.
There seems to also be a rise, especially on the continent, of satire, which is something that some people don't necessarily know about or realize.
Some of these websites say that they're not fake, they are satire. But to be honest, it's quite a tricky distinction to make. But when you look at their content in context and you see that that same news site is spreading information where there's no satirical element to it, in other words, it's not something that really pokes derisive fun at someone or something, and instead it is just something that puts out a blatant untruth. For example, that the former archbishop had passed away. That's not satire. I'm not sure where you'd find in any kind of generalized understanding of comedy or of critical engagement that kind of thing would constitute satire. And of course, what it does mean is you need audiences that are able to engage with that level of nuance, and it means that also they need to be very, very good digital citizens. And unfortunately, that simply isn't the case.
Some things are so fantastical, but especially to deal with health news, that can be even dangerous to the average reader or the average listener if they don't realize that this is fake.
That's another essential element. If you look at the kind of messaging that's being put out on these things, what it does do is that ultimately it undermines the credibility of all journalism. Because if you don't believe this site, why on earth should you then believe another website? If you're an ordinary citizen, how are you meant to distinguish if one website says that actually you can get XYZ disease by doing this, or they've cured XYZ disease by doing something by riding on a broomstick upside down and dipping it in maple syrup? You know, you're not going to know that those things are fake. And what it does do is it just undermines trust and credibility in traditional media. So in as much as this is a problem for audiences and how the hell they understand and where they can get reliable information, it's a significant crisis for traditional journalism, because they've got to do significant work to build trust and credibility in the products that they disseminate.
Not only is the fake news phenomenon different on the continent, it can be used to manipulate people in a different way. Jimmy Kainja is a communications and media professor and an editor at the news site Africa Blogging in Zomba, Malawi. He says that African governments could use fake news to control internet access.
You know, issues to do with fake news is a very important issue. But I don't think we can just look at it the way it is in America, as it is in Africa. Because in Africa, of course, we keep on talking about issues to do with digital divide and stuff. I don't think that is a factor at all. If you look at 2016, the year just ended, across Africa, you know, from Luanda, Zimbabwe, Uganda, Zimbabwe, for instance, you find out that the most well-known phenomenon is that government shutting down the internet at a time when people expressing their anger or during elections or around elections or something, which is what happened in Uganda when there was elections before it and just after it, trying to stop people expressing themselves how they feel about the election. The same in Zimbabwe, when few people started standing up against Mugabe's oppressive regime via the internet. I understand in Zimbabwe, the most widely used form of communication is WhatsApp. So trying to stop people communicating. Just yesterday, I have a friend from Zimbabwe telling me how much Zimbabwe has just put up internet tariffs. So what this shows is that, yes, governments don't want internet companies, but we have internet companies in Africa that are very happy to comply with government. We are working alongside governments, conniving, if I may use that word, because these companies, basically, they earn a lot staying within the company and comply with the governments, unlike doing what is right, basically providing access to people who don't have access. So I was looking at it from that perspective to say, there is this need by African governments to control the internet. So this issue about fake news would be a convenient excuse to say we don't want what is happening in Europe to happen in our country, so we need to control the internet one way or the other. While the truth is, when you're looking at fake news, I'll give you an example of my own country, Malawi. The biggest culprit is public service broadcaster, Malawi Broadcasting Corporation. The news, you don't have news basically there. All you have is the ruling party propaganda. Basically, what constitutes to fake news on international level, say in America and in Europe. So I was saying that basically, talking about fake news, we need to start with public broadcasters, not necessarily the internet, because talking about the internet Africa only gives opportunity for prison regimes basically to clamp down on internet access in Africa.
Anim van Wyk is the Johannesburg-based editor of Africa Check, an organization that promotes accuracy in the media in Africa. She says that readers and listeners can actively work to prevent the spread of fake news.
The most important thing that someone can do online is just to pause for a minute and think about what they're encountering or reading before they share or comment on something. Because these fake news sites, they get you to react emotionally. So they create outrageous headlines, things that make you angry or sad or react without thinking. What I always do is I go to the About Us section of the website first. And many websites would tell you straight up, we can't guarantee the factuality of our content. We produce satire. And they tell you basically that they can't be trusted.
Now, there are a lot of so-called news websites that have names that are quite similar to actual official real websites that give the real news.
There are a lot of deception involved with these fake news websites. I can only talk from South Africa, where I choose things that if you're in a hurry or you're looking on your small screen on your phone, you may mistake it for the genuine website of a reputable news organization. That said, we've identified a few that we know in South Africa that they peddle fake news, but it's often if you just pause and look carefully at the name or the address of the URL, you'd be able to figure out that it's not the real thing.
And I mean, what would you say to someone who sees something, they get upset and they share this on social media or they tell their friends about it? That also helps spread fake news, apparently.
You may think, oh, what's the harm? I'll share it and ask somebody if it's true, or maybe it's not true, but rather than share it, listeners must realize that when you do that, Facebook picks up stories as popular. People are clicking on it, commenting on it, they're sharing it. They push it to more people's news feeds. That's often how something goes viral. And that's how these websites make money, because when you click on it, you go to their website, they can sell it to advertisers. So it makes me angry that these people would make money out of terrible stories or things that they make up. And I hope that listeners would also, you know, share that outrage and not click on the things and not support them in their business model and not make the content popular.
That's all the time we have today. We hope you enjoyed African Media. I'm Laura Angela Bagnetto. Stay tuned next week for news and views around Africa.